When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One. A winter weather advisory is an invitation to own the roads in the Dodge Charger, America's only four-door muscle car with all-wheel drive. To take the winter by storm in a Dodge Durango, the most powerful SUV with all-wheel drive in its class. And to burn some rubber and melt the snow in the Dodge Challenger, the first all-wheel drive muscle coupe. Don't miss the Dodge President's Day event. Based on 2019 Ward's Midsize Sport Utility Vehicle Segment. Based on Ward's Middle Specialty Vehicle Segment. Excludes other FCA US LLC vehicles. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. We got Bill Goldberg with us on the phone. He's standing still this time, so audio is fantastic, and he's not running around. And we've got our boy, Alistair Weaver, back in the studio, because Edmunds has got, like, you know, like all the reviews and the awards and all that shit going on. So we're going to hear about it. Not to downplay it or anything. Like, I mean that in the sweetest way possible. All right. CarCast is brought to you guys by Geico. Go to geico.com, get yourself some car insurance. And of course, Dodge. Hurry in for an unbeatable deal during the Dodge President's Day event. Check them out. We love them. We're talking to the mayor of Dodgeville, so we're going to get into that a little bit as well.
That would be Muscleville, USA.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what it's called. We'll figure it out. Goldberg, how are you, buddy? Things are good?
You know what, man? Things couldn't be better. I am immersed in horsepower and automotive parts, automotive gigs, and I get to talk to two of my best buddies in the space on the phone. So, you know, you introduce me, you always make it a point to say I'm not in the studio. Like I should go to the principal's office or something. You make me feel so guilty every time you intro me.
It's all good. It's working out. Like, I get, like, the phone thing isn't always ideal for people listening on playback, where we're trying to make it, you know, schedules are nutty and you're far away, but we want to make this happen, and we're going to plan a time for you to come back up here. We'll do a few shows in the studio. We'll get some guests in the studio with us. In the meantime, we've got Alistair here. What's
up? What's up? What's up?
What's up?
I can't do that, can I? What's up?
What's up? You can just say sup. What's the British version of that?
How are you?
So formal. Yeah. So formal.
How are you doing, my good man?
Chap. Before we get into some of the Edmunds car review stuff that we got going on, I got questions for sure. We're going to do a mini truck comparison. Are they still called mini trucks?
They're mid-sized trucks.
They're mid-sized trucks. Does that mean there's going to be a mini truck?
What's a mini truck?
Something smaller than the midsize.
Yeah, probably.
Right? Like,
well, everything's getting so big. Like a Ram 1500 is huge now. So you need, the midsize becomes the proper truck. And then,
okay, but you know, you guys have to understand there are, like, large human beings in the world. So you got to have these big ostentatious things that represent, you know, that's an extension of their personality. Big guy needs a big truck.
Yeah,
that's true. And Matt needs one of these.
That's right. I need the mini truck. I need the mini truck. A new Ford Ranger's got to be about the size of a 2003, 2004 F-150, like Lightning.
Exactly, and right. That's why they're bringing it into the U.S. now, because you see the success of Toyota Tacoma, Chevy Colorado, and so we're doing a triple test, which is launching today on Edmunds.com/roadnoise, Edmunds.com/roadnoise, where we put the Ranger against the Tacoma and the Colorado on-road and off-road. We've actually chosen the version of the trucks that are good for off-roading, which is why there's no Honda Ridgeline in the lineup as well. It's a really thorough test. It's about a half hour epic. So if you're into trucks, you'll love it.
Yeah.
Interesting results, because without wanting to, you know, give all the spoilers away, the Rangers actually existed outside of the US for some time. I drove it in Europe about 4 or 5 years ago.
I saw it at Goodwood 2 or 3 years ago.
So what you're getting is an old truck posing as new, and as you'll see in the test, there's a lot of things that just don't really shake out for it. If you look at the rear compartment and that sort of thing, it feels in too many ways like an old vehicle, which basically it is.
Well, we'll get into it real quick. First, I want to get into what's going on over in Bill's garage. We just got some images texted to us, and it looks like you got a crate with a hood.
So yeah, SpeedCorp was nice enough to send me a carbon fiber hood for the Demon, and they didn't send a tech with me so that it would be not a dangerous outing for me to take this hood off by myself and switch them. So
it's tough for a one man job, because you got to kind of align it, and two guys got to put the screws in and hold it up. Where's G-Man?
Yeah,
he can help you.
But it's not something that I advise people to do single-handedly by any stretch of the imagination. But it's possible. You just have to kind of configure it. But, you know, it's going to be cool, man. I'm getting this car ready for Monday. Our buddy, Chris Jacobs, is heading out for Dodge, and they're going to do a shoot at the Goldberg's garage. And I want to get that thing on there. You know,
yeah,
we're
going to
have Friday. We've got HRE, the wheels being done, and Nitto gave me the tires. We're going to get those matted up, and then I'm going to pick it up from Auto, wherever the heck it is. Where is it? Auto Armor, and then the Expel ceramic coating and clear coat will be done. And man, this thing should be the red eye should be just spectacular.
Yeah, that car is going to be exciting.
We shall see.
Now, I think taking the hood off of the Demon is more complicated than putting this one on.
You know, it's not complicated. It's just cumbersome. That's all.
Yeah.
Getting this crate with this, you know, the crate's 150 pounds, but it's not like the size of a suitcase. So it's not something that I can easily maneuver by myself.
I'm 150 pounds.
Well, I can maneuver easier than this hood.
I'm not that wide.
But Bill, I've got a question for you. How much does a red eye weigh?
The red eye is probably the exact same. You know, 4,500 to 4,600 pounds.
And you weigh?
I'm a Svelte 260 or something like that.
So between them, that's what nearly 4,800 pounds. So
why do you think it's got to have 800 horsepower to tool me around?
But I'm not interested in horsepower. What benefit is putting a carbon hood
on
a
8-pound reduction?
Hey, guys, believe me, I am not putting it on for the weight reduction by any means.
You can take your shoes off, that'll do the same thing.
I'm not taking my overflow canister off because I can put a lighter one on either. Yeah. I did not take my rear seats out because I want it to be a light car. It's all aesthetics for this car. I mean, it is what it is. It can weigh 5,000 pounds, and the only way I'm going to compensate for that is by adding more horsepower and not taking weight off. So, I'm only doing this for the aesthetics, and I'm only doing it for my buddies at SpeedCorp.
Yeah, it's going to look good. I was down there a while back, and Bill and I and his family, we went out for sushi, and I can tell you that the amount of sushi Bill eats weighs more than that hood.
No question.
No question.
I mean, hey, SpeedCorp at SEMA had the fully carbon Demon, remember?
Yeah.
And I think it was only 600 pounds lighter altogether than the stock Demon. So, I mean, none of it is done for weight reduction, I don't believe. I mean, I think it's a guy that has a huge passion for what he does, and he wants to pump out some great-looking quality products. And the weight reduction part, even though it's carbon fiber, where a lot of people would lean towards that for that, I don't think that's what he's doing.
Now, 600 pounds is a significant jump. And I think in the quarter mile, what's our rule of thumb? Like a tenth for every 100 pounds, right? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, you can optimize the traction, yeah.
Yeah, it's about a tenth. So if you could take a half a second off your quarter mile time.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, you got to take the demon and make the entire thing carbon fiber, which is not inexpensive, but it looks badass. But yeah, there is a way to start knocking it down. Are you and Gage going to come up to our big 10th anniversary car show event, March 10th, Sunday?
I'm probably going to show up out of midair for that event, man. I got to do that. I have to do it.
You got to come up for that. It's going to be fantastic. Now, are you going to be in town already? Or are you going to bring a car up? And if so, have you decided what you want to bring? Now, I asked this. You haven't seen the Red Eye Wrap yet.
But, you know, the fortunate part is we have a couple days to think about it. And so we can try to tailor it to whatever you guys want me to do.
I think we are bringing we're bringing the Porsche 935. Everybody seems to really want to see that car here in L.A. And I talked to the guys at the Peterson Museum, and I said, well, if we bring that car out and has kind of a Le Mans heritage thing going on, what do you got to show with it? And they said, we've got a new 4GT Le Mans Heritage Edition, which is the red one with the white stripes. And I said, great, let's set those two cars side by side. That'll be fun. They said, done. So yeah, that'll be kind of cool. And so we're going to bring that car. I think we're going to bring another one of the race cars, one of the Newman cars, or maybe this different drummer 510. And then I'm going to bring the M3 with the fresh paint and the new clutch. Thank God for that. The new clutch. There's the GT. See with the colors? We got it up on the screen here. But
I think I saw that in the vault the other week.
Yeah they're going to bring it out of the vault.
They've got an early car as well. Yeah. That might be quite fun.
And let's see, we've got our buddy Michael Anthony from Van Halen. He's bringing up his matte black Mercedes AMG GT, which nice. I think he had wrapped in a matte black, or knowing him, he had it frickin' painted for $90,000 at the price of the car. And Brad Fanshawe, my buddy and co-host on Shift and Steer, he's got a collection of muscle cars. He might be bringing like his Hot Rod El Camino, or maybe like his Baldwin Motion Vega or something. These are very American cars, Alistair. Very American. We have El Caminos out here. Not just that, he's got a slam two-tone painted Hot Rod El Camino.
Actually, a guy I used to, when I started my career at Autocar in the UK, a guy that I used to work with had imported an El Camino into the UK.
Yeah.
And I had to once go down to his living room at lunchtime. We all went down because he was rebuilding the engine in his living room.
Nice. You were like, what is this? It's a car and a truck.
Yeah,
I love it.
Fantastic.
So we got that going on. Let me see. I'm getting confirmation, but I think our buddy Danny Trejo is going to come out, and I assume Lowrider.
This is going
to
be great.
That's not meant to be racist. That means he's got a great collection of Lowriders, and he digs them, and I think Trejo is going to come out. Chris Jacobs is coming out. Surprise, surprise, bringing a Mopar. I think he's got like a GTX or something. Yeah, he's
See, everyone you've mentioned has the luxury of being within 50 miles of where they're ending up at the Peterson Museum.
That's
I, on
right.
the other hand, am not.
Right. However, you are a co-host of the show, and it's a 10th year anniversary. Although
no,
you haven't been doing 10 years.
The ability to take a certain car. I'm very limited. I'm limited because of the proximity of where we're going.
That's right. Well, it's not going to rain, so feel free. That's just wishful thinking.
Are we on the roof? We're on the roof?
We're going to be up on the roof.
I meant if it was close, I'd bring the Z20, the SECA car, the Trans Am car. I'd bring, you know, something really, really badass.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if I had the lawman here, but that's not till November.
That's not till November. We could, you know, just to stress him out, we should call Marcus Angel. And
let's not.
Next week and go, yeah, we changed our mind. We need that car here March 10th and it better run.
Oh, God almighty. Yeah, I talked to him about maybe taking it to Goodwood, and his heart skipped a beat.
Yeah, I would imagine it would. He's got a lot going on over there. Tell us about the commercial you're doing. You teased it last week. You said you're doing another Dodge commercial. I saw you went out there. You started filming. Where'd you go? What did you do? You can't get fired now, so spill the beans.
I can't spill all the beans, man. I mean, to start off, I didn't know it snowed in California, you know, in close proximity to my house.
It's so funny because
going up to Taft was very memorable. Actually, coming back from Taft was even more memorable because I felt like I was in Aspen. It was nuts. But, you know, I got to Taft, literally jumped out of the SUV and jumped into a Demon. And we filmed a new installment of Muscleville, USA, for their new campaign. And, you know, I just so happened to be the mayor. So it was really cool, dude. You know, I don't have to sit here and fanboy it. But, I mean, when you're a kid, you dream of certain things. And being a professional athlete was one of them on my list. And, hey, being a car guy, man, you know, getting a Dodge commercial, that's pretty cool.
It is fantastic. It really doesn't matter who you are. If you're a fan, like if I could do, you know, a Ford commercial or Alistair can do a Citroen commercial. Well, his girlfriend's French, right?
That's right.
Yeah, she's French. There you go.
I'd love like an old DS or an SM Maserati. And...
Yeah, something like lovely. That. Yeah, actually, he did roll up in the Jag today. He rolled up in the Edmonds F-Type?
F-Type SVR.
SVR? Yeah. I love that thing.
That's a cool
thing. I don't ever want to see one of those again.
Yeah, I love that. That's right, because you did Top Gear. You did Top Gear.
The Top Gear, Grand Tour. It wasn't the worst experience. It just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. So every time I see one of those, I think of the, you know,
right,
driving on the wrong side of the
in that head to head competition. I don't want to say that you lost, but we can say that you didn't win.
It was rigged, dude.
Yeah, it was totally rigged. You first started on the wrong side of the car.
I knew I was going to lose when I get in town and I'm driving down and I'm in the back of the car being delivered to the hotel that they got me at, and I look to the left, and there's a freaking stadium with Joshua's picture on the side of it. So I'm like, yeah, there's no way I'm winning this. It's just not happening. I got to beat him by a mile and a half, you know, by like 10 minutes. There's no way.
It was a fun episode. It was good. I think because it's, you know, going to be 4:30 in L.A., you should drive my BMW back to Santa Monica, and I'll take your Jag.
I kind of like that. Actually, that sounds like a good deal.
Yeah, you say that until you get in there and you realize you got to hit that clutch 900 times between here and Santa Monica.
Yeah.
At least the clutch is nice now. My leg feels so much better. Like, to me, it's going to be like the best clutch in the world. You'd be like, see, a little stiff. I'd be like, I don't know.
You're
going to
lose
about.
Your left calf, though.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a good little workout.
Yeah. All right. So you're the mayor of Muscleville. That commercial, we don't have an ETA on that. When they're going to roll that out? We have any idea? They're going to go back and edit it and do a thing, but is it?
I really don't know. I mean, it was a huge crew. The cool and uncool part of it was Hubenet and all the stunt guys were there the 2 days prior. So
you didn't get to see the drifting.
I didn't get to see any of that stuff and take part in any of it. I mean, I was able to do numerous launches and burnouts in the Demon, which is nice because it wasn't mine.
Mm-hmm.
And
pull a Richard Rawlings.
It was really cool, man. It was really cool. And you know, just a little tidbit and a tease. Santa Claus may be coming back to town too. So
good, do it. There you go. Signing deals, signing Dodge deals, because the Dodge guys are like, this is the best thing ever. He's just going to buy more cars from us.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, keep it.
Yeah, they're like,
you don't have to pay me in anything but horsepower.
They're like, what do we got coming out? Well, we've got a Charger Red Eye or something coming out. And like, okay, let's just put Bill in a commercial.
You know me oh so well. The agents don't like that very much because you can't get a commission on a car.
No, you can't. But the beauty is like when you go to Wanda and she's like, "What's this car?" And like, I didn't buy it. Like technically, it was kind of like a big swap. Like, it just, I mean, yeah, it passed through the bank account for a minute, but really, this wasn't like. You know, this wasn't like Gage's college fund. It was just bought another car. It's like, you do a little work, you get a car. Do a little work, you get a car.
Well, here's the way I swung it. It's a prerequisite for the job.
Yeah.
Right? I have to buy their I have to be driving their latest and greatest.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense if I don't.
Listen, Dodge, make sure this doesn't go unnoticed. You keep putting your boy in commercials and he keeps spending on your damn cars. All right, I want to get to talk about mini trucks in a second. First, I'm going to tell you about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You could drop off dry cleaning, pick up some milk, you go out and shoot a commercial, all that stuff. Well, now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com. All right. Mid-size trucks are getting it's all the hot new thing. Like it's getting all the press. Is the Tacoma that good, or is the Tacoma just what's available?
The Tacoma is generally pretty good. I mean, the TRD, which is the one in our test, is very good off road. Colorado, without giving the game away, the Colorado actually, when you think about the full size Silverado's big disappointment to us, Ram 1500 is a clear standout in that class. But the Colorado does a lot better job in the smaller trucks. So good for Chevy to actually have a product that's super competitive.
And what engine? Is the diesel Colorado any good?
We actually have a ZR2 on our long-term test fleet.
You want to compare it to the TRD.
Exactly. I mean, this is the Z71 that we're in. But it's, yeah, I mean, the diesel's pretty good. I mean, in this market, obviously, you know, you're not towing around as much weight. You're not necessarily from a towing capacity, but also from a fuel consumption perspective. So, you know, you're not driven to diesel in quite the same way. And as you say, these things are actually, if you don't live out in rural areas, if you want to have something that's a bit more manageable in town, I spent a lot of time in a Tacoma, and it's a lot more usable if you're coming in and out of cities as well as trying to, you know, haul it out in the country.
Okay. What else was in the comparison? Frontier? Nissan Frontier? Do they still make the Nissan Frontier?
It was just the three. So it was the Ranger, the Colorado, and the Tacoma.
Okay.
We nearly put a Ridgeline in it because Ridgeline is our top-ranked truck.
Yeah.
But we wanted to do some off-roading, and the Ridgeline
It's not built for that. It's a city truck. I'm a fan of the Ridgeline, the all-wheel drive. I think it's kind of neat, but I think it runs smooth. I think it drives like a... Like a Honda or an Acura. I think it drives pretty nice, and when you need to use it as a little bit of a truck, it's fine. Like it's the El Camino of today. You know,
they just need a Type R version of it to sort it.
Yeah. Yeah. I pitched that to them. We were going to make one, but then everybody listening to the show is like, "Don't do it. I hate the Ridgeline." It's like, "All right," I got shot down on that one. All right. So the results are out. Are you going to tell us the results? What's the
on the mid-sized truck?
Yeah,
no, I think you should watch the film.
All right, watch the film.
So. watch the film. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah,
it's a 30-minute epic. We went off-road, went up to near Pioneer Town, which is about a couple of hours outside LA. Went out in the desert, took them off-road. Dan Edmonds, our director of testing.
I was just going to say, he probably got so excited.
He's in it. That's why it's half an hour. he just explained. He listened to the show, so he's explaining the suspense. No, it's great. Dan's great in it. Alana Scher and Jay Kavanaugh, who's another one of our key test guys. That all three of them are in it, and they bring some humor to it as well. So it's a good one. I can't tell you the results of that, but I can tell you the results of our Editor's Choice Awards, which is our best cars of the year.
But right now, as we speak, Dan is testing the Jeep truck.
Gladiator.
Give me a second.
You see, the way it works for us is we tend to get into...
I know this because I saw a picture of a shock.
Yes.
Yeah. He's like, there's the suspension. And I was like, good shot, buddy.
Dan,
I love Dan.
Dan loves his suspension. You see, the good thing is about Dan actually developed trucks. You know, you think about most of us are, you know, journalists, that sort of thing. I come from a written background. I did a history degree. Dan developed trucks. So he was a professional race car driver, or certainly a very good amateur race car driver, did a few pro races, and he developed vehicles for a living. So what that guy knows is incredible, and he really brings that to bear in the way they test stuff, in the videos and in the written stuff as well. So he's out driving the Gladiator. Now, the way this works for anybody who doesn't follow the industry is we tend to get vehicles very early, and then they're under a kind of legal embargo. So we tend to test them. We'll create all the films and everything goes with it. And then it's a kind of a bit of a sort of fair thing, really. So all the media get to have a go at the vehicles, and then we all publish at the same time.
Right. Everybody waits, and they say, everybody test it, and then whatever, like March 20th, everybody gets to roll out their
exactly.
Their
and sometimes, results. You know, sometimes people break, and you get into all these kind of silly little fights,
sure.
And it's all a bit kind of schoolboy. But that's, you know, that's the rules of the game. So we're out in the Gladiator at the moment.
Uh-huh.
So we're sharing it on social media, but we're not allowed to say what we think of it. But that, I have to say, that vehicle's got a huge amount of interest. And one of the interesting things for us is it kind of sits between a fashion truck. There'll be lots of people in LA buying mm-hmm. them just because they're a lifestyle tool. But this is a proper off-road truck that will do, you know, will pretty do much what a Wrangler will do.
Because it's interesting that you bring that up because, Bill, I don't know if you've seen the Jeep Gladiator. It's the four-door pickup truck version of the Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah.
And I think we need to figure out a way for you to test that because you did the Raptor test on your property, and I think you should test the Jeep.
There's no doubt. No question. I think that's a cool-looking vehicle. I've asked a number of people about it, and I might have to put one in my fleet, but I've got to run through the paces first.
That's right.
And you can do all the Mopar stuff to it and everything else.
Yeah, so, it's great. Yeah. When they displayed it, I think you and I were walking around the LA Auto Show together, and even when it was there, like, hey, here it is. They already had like the Mopar version of it. What a great way to sell sort of the performance parts of it. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because it's interesting, and I know it's going to be popular for people. I'm not necessarily a Jeep fan myself, but you know, maybe it's just because I live in LA and I just don't really do any off-roading. But people have been asking for this thing for a long time, and I'm wondering, is it going to live up to the hype?
So well, it was we'll kind see. Of interesting around the LA show when this mm-hmm. thing was announced that we can obviously track what people will look at on our site, and Gladiator was just huge. When you looked at the figures, it was standout. It was like twice as much traffic as anything else.
More than the Rivian?
More than the Rivian, yeah.
More than the Rivian.
But not now Amazon bought into Rivian. I think it's going to get some attention.
It's going to get some attention, yeah. They just that electric truck we talked about, the Rivian, just did a big venture capital round of like $700 million with Amazon as the lead investor. The only thing is that
$700 million is a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
But in automotive terms, it's not actually that much.
Yeah,
not when you're launching
a brand. This is
a
company that's also been around for about 10 years.
Yeah.
They've been sort of stealth doing this thing. That was me. I'm not going to cancel down. Sorry about that. All right. So let's talk about the big award show.
Yeah.
Not the hostless Oscars. I'm talking about the Edmonds Awards.
No, this was properly hosted. It was all good. We all turned up.
Everyone was there.
Nobody tweeted anything inappropriate yet.
So what you guys did is you picked the editor's choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Edmonds editor's choice for each vehicle, different categories. But there is a difference between what you guys do and what some of the other publishers do. Is a lot of the other groups, they say, this is the best out of the new cars this year, right? So, and you're saying this is the best of the new cars available. So the Gladiator, which is a brand new vehicle, could show up in some of the other tests and yours, but those guys would only do like Gladiator or what's new, like Honda or Acura RDX because it's new for 2019 and Gladiator because it's new for 2019.
Yeah,
and you guys are saying we'll test everything in each category and tell you what's the best.
Yeah, basically it's an important distinction. So which is why when you look at some of the Car of the Year winners over the years, you get some real anomalies and you go, how the hell did that win? But actually it happened to be the new one for that year.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do is a real recognition of excellence. So the Gladiator, for example, because we haven't tested it properly, it hasn't been through our track, it hasn't been through all the process that we put every vehicle through, that wouldn't qualify.
That's just a timing thing.
That's a timing thing, but obviously
you guys are already working on this. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
For next year's awards, it will absolutely be there. So what we're trying to do, we talked about this in the past, we have a ranking system on the site. So we subdivide all 400 vehicles into about 50 different categories. And then what we've taken is those 50 categories, distill it down into seven. So best sedan, best luxury sedan, best SUV, luxury SUV, sports car, et cetera, et cetera. And then recognize genuine excellence. So to come up with seven award winners, the seven individual films, there's a page if you go to the Edmonds.com homepage. You can click through to the Editor's Choice Awards, take a look at it. We're proud of it. We put a lot of work
into
it.
How long does this take? Not to watch the film, to do the test. Get 450 cars.
The films are 90 seconds. I mean, we put around 300. We have 300 vehicles a year through the office. I mean, it's a big operation.
And I see. So you're not testing them all at once. You're testing them throughout the year, and then they all get tested the same on your test track.
Sure.
And then it's a lot of just crunching of the numbers. And then how much opinion do you guys put in it? Like, you have yourself and a handful of the different editors go, you know, this is great on so many levels, but the cup holders suck, and I don't like the look. And
we try and distill it. We try and make it as empirical as possible, and we think this was what sets us apart a little bit. I talked about Dan's experience and the members of the team who are actually engineers. So everything goes through the process. We have all the stats on the, you know, quarter miles, 0 to 60s, braking performance, skid pan, all that sort of thing. And then obviously apply your kind of experience so that one of the weird things I always think about automotive compared to, say, TripAdvisor, if you go on TripAdvisor, mm-hmm. you believe that somebody reviewing a 4-star hotel has probably stayed in 30 other 4-star hotels. Cars are a bit different because in order to assess the Ranger, you need to know what a Tacoma's like, what a Ridgeline's like, et cetera, et cetera. So we try and mix the empiricism with and the hard data with our experience and expertise. So we try not to get too much into styling and things like that because anything that's too subjective. And really focus on the objective and how does this vehicle work for the people it's intended for the consumers.
And what are the categories?
So this year we've got SUV, normal and luxury, sedan, normal and luxury, sports car, truck, and electric EV.
Okay, so they're all up on Edmunds.com.
Yeah.
So we should go there for all the results, but what's your favorite of every one? There are 7 categories, cars and trucks, sports cars and everything else. What's the one vehicle you're going to take home?
I think we deliberately didn't do a sort of what is the car of the year because we recognize that that's
so
different.
I'm not asking Edmunds, I'm asking you.
I know you're trying to hedge here. No. I think
your pick?
For me, the big standout last year was the Ram 1500.
The Ram.
And I just think we, you know, the last year was the year of the big trucks, Silverado, mm-hmm. You know, Ram entering the market. F-150 is a little bit older, but still very much competitive. And the Ram was just such a huge step forwards. You know, here is a vehicle that's fantastic. You know, amazing versatility, off road, on road, but with a cabin that can be as luxurious as a high end sedan. And it's interesting. Ram, I should say these days, they almost just took a look at the mindset. Right, we're going to throw everything at this vehicle and make sure that we win. And Chevy with the Silverado just probably focus group and just kind of went for a little evolution of what they had before. And Ram knocked it out of the park. And what's nice for me is when you look at the sales charts, the Ram is doing really well. So not only is it winning all the critical tests, it's actually doing well in the sales charts as well. So at least kind of makes us feel satisfied that we do have some influence.
How do we go back and find, excuse me, especially on the new cars, how do we go back and find the reliability of these things after the fact? Like, because you guys are in the new car business, but here on the show, we talk a lot about trying to buy a used car. On Shift and Steer last week, go back and listen to that episode with Brad and Aaron and I. We were pulling some information, some statistics, saying in the financing world, the 18 to 29 year old new car buyer are defaulting on loans at a high record to the point where it's threatening to be the next financial collapse as the auto loan market.
It's the next subprime, right?
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
And so we were saying, and we've been kind of fans of this for a long time, is hey, don't overextend yourself on something new. Maybe get something that's a few years old. Because cars are pretty good these days, and you can get something with 50,000 miles and still get 5 years out of it if you need to, and we do have resources such as what you guys do to sort of break that down, So don't spend $45,000 on a car if you can spend $22,900.
It's a good point, man. We also have used. Edmunds isn't just about new cars; it's also about used, and we have a huge inventory of used cars on the site. And it's reliability is always the real difficult. I mean, obviously there's ways now of looking at a car's history, Carfax, that sort of thing, but genuine overall the overall reliability is something that we're actually looking at quite closely at the moment, and it's a real challenge because, of course, you don't know the history of the individual vehicle. So, I mean, our advice is always, it's a bit like a new car, do your research, not only into the vehicle and type, but also into find out as much as you possibly can about the vehicle you're buying. Look at the histories. That'll tell you whether it's been in a crash or anything like that, a major crash or anything like that.
So, yeah.
But it is the big challenge with used cars. And it's, of course, very much dependent on what kind of life that car has. But you're absolutely right. Used cars make a huge amount of sense. You know, a lot of cars, even with 40, 50, 60,000 miles, if that's mainly just knocking up and down a highway, you know, cars are well built these days. You know, they're reliable. It's a tough equation, and especially with lease deals on new cars being still comparatively cheap.
Some of these cars might still have warranty on them, maybe scheduled maintenance. I'm not sure. I don't know how that really transfers on some of these cars. But
And sometimes you can look to extend warranties and that sort of thing. We're actually looking at a piece of work at the moment trying to compare the genuine cost of new versus used. So let's say you lease a Honda Civic for, you know, $25,000. Well, actually, what does that look like if you buy a used car? Because the other thing, of course, is depreciation. If you buy a new car outright, then it's going to depreciate heavily. You'll lose 50-60% of its value over 3 years. A used car, somebody else has taken the hit. So it's a tough equation. You know, do you buy used and take it, and then you've got all the concerns about maintenance and having to fix it when it goes wrong, but then you haven't got the depreciation, or do you go for new, accept the depreciation, but everything's under warranty? So it's not a straightforward equation.
Yeah, but there's going to be an equation there somewhere, and you guys should do the math on it so we don't have to. Bill, you've got a Blazer that you're going to put a Ford Coyote engine in?
I didn't say that, but I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to put in it. I'm probably going to go LS. I've had that thing for 15 years, and it's been held hostage for the last five, and I finally got it back. We've spoken about that on prior shows, and...
What year is it?
Who knows, man? It's a 69. It's straight. It's rust free, and it is a palette waiting to be painted. So.
And you're gonna do a crate engine swap or something on it, and then what else? What else is the plan with it? You're gonna do some suspension work. Are you do some restoration stuff, or are you gonna like what? What's the
all
goal?
Of the above? All of the above. I'm gonna do complete suspension work on it, and. You know, do some HRE wheels and some Nitto tires, and completely redo the. It's going to be a top to bottom 100%, you know, resto.
And you don't have a Hellcat engine laying around to put in your Blazer, because that might be awesome and irritate people.
Well, I'm all about irritating people. So, you know, the. Like I said, the palette's clean right now, man. I really don't know. I'm taking ideas. And
I mean, the LS swap, no problem with that. That's an easy swap. And
I just
want
to make it easy. And there's no doubt that I got enough power I can get out of an LS motor. Look at Wanda's race car.
So, oh, yeah, but that's the beauty of LS. You can do 400 horsepower. You can do 2,000 horsepower. You can do whatever you want with
it's
it.
It's so easy.
And I'm sure you can make it work. But... A Hellcat engine.
Stop? I don't know, man. I don't know, man. Put the elephant in there. Why not?
The white dog. Well,
I didn't say elephant. I'm saying because that could be a little much, but I was thinking, look, even if you do LS engine, I think you go with something that's like twin screw supercharged, like your Hellcat supercharged.
Well, yeah. Absolutely.
Because I think in that truck, you're going to want that full boost at whatever, 2,500 RPM. You're going to want that low-end torque, and it'll make that Blazer fun. Like, by all means, suspension, brakes, you're going to have to do everything on that thing to compensate for the power. But I think that's what would really kind of make that thing fun. And you throw the big exhaust on it and make it kind of loud and obnoxious yeah, because why not?
It's going to be a Goldberg vehicle, man. It's going to be bitching. But, I got it for my dogs, for God's sake. So, I mean, it's going to be bitching. I can't wait to get it.
But it doesn't have to be Chevy powered. You know, Chevy vehicle, no. Chevy powered. Doesn't have to be. No. Doesn't have to be.
Hey, man, with enough, with all different, how many different projects we got going on at once? You know, I mean, it's, I don't want to stray too far from ease in, you know, starting another project. I'd like this one to go fairly smoothly and be done in a realistic amount of time as opposed to the other end of the spectrum. So,
yeah,
I want to use this vehicle this summer, man. So it's pedal to the metal and I got to get this thing done. So I'm not going to.
Who's going to build it for you?
A bunch of wrenches in the way. Ha ha. Pun intended.
Who's going to build it for you? Who's going
to? I've yet to figure that out, but it's going to be somebody local. If not, I'd have Bodie do it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Bodie Stroud's great. He's done a bunch of projects for us. Yeah.
That'd be local.
He'd be fantastic for something like that. Speaking of projects getting done.
But if I had it up there and Bodie did it, then it would give me excuses to come up and be in the studio.
Yeah, and it's also, he's a sweet dude, so you can say, what's going on? Send me some pictures, and I can go over there and check in on it. Like, he's, you know, he's a good guy to do something like that. And he's done a bunch of truck stuff, and he's making full chassis. He's making Bronco chassis and everything in-house, so... You know, depending on how far you want to go, there could be a version of this where you just take that Blazer and stick it on one of his custom chassis, then suspension, chassis, everything's done. It's all basically, the math is done, the geometry's done, it's dialed in, and you can put any engine you want in there, I'm just saying.
Send me Bodie's info, man, and we'll see how busy he is, and we go from there.
Yeah. I went over to the shop just before we came here. Adam's... AV guy. Adam moved into this new house, and Ed, the AV guy, is like, hook up everything. I want the 84-inch screen TV because that's the biggest, and I want Sonos speakers all over the place, and I just want to, you know, listen to music, podcasts, and everything all over the house. And I said, that's a great idea, and I saw Ed, and I said, Ed, pick me up a couple of the Sonos speakers. I'm going to put them in my apartment so I can blast out my neighbors. And he sent me some, and I was like, these aren't the ones I want. I'm going to drop them off at the shop and just come swap them out. And he's like, yeah, I'll be over to the shop anytime. And I went over there, and the guys working in there, Sean and Jose, that are working in the shop. And I go, hey, leave these speakers for Ed, the AV guy. He's going to swing by. And they're like, we're going to hook them up to engine sounds and put the speakers underneath your Mustangs. When people come in, they think it's running. And I was like, okay. Because you were talking about projects kind of lingering for a while. And I was like, all right.
Yep.
It's funny. Yep. Plus, I got an email from the guy, the 3D printer guy that was doing my my custom vents. And he's like, hey, I'm kind of like going to take another job, like a professor at a university or something. I forgot what he told me. And he's like, so probably not going to finish that project. But here's another guy. He's great. He's great. He's going to help you with this. I was like, okay, do we have to start all over? Because we're about a year and a half and waiting for these things to be made. It's fine because I didn't get too much done in the car recently. But yeah, that's how these things start to snowball. They just start to snowball.
Talking noise in cars, I was in Period Correct down in Newport Beach on Friday.
Yeah, that's, you know, a store. It's like a retail store.
It's a clothing store, but based around old Porsches. And in there, they had,
it's a great name for a store for that kind of, yeah, Period Correct is such a great for like a vintage Porsche motorsports store.
It's cool. They had an E30 M3 BMW in there as well. But I never realized that somebody at Porsche did on vinyl, Sounds of Porsches.
Oh.
And I don't have anything to play vinyl on, but this was there, and these are for sale in there. And I thought this was fabulous, and this was all sorts of 356s and 930, all sorts of things that had happened. They've been across the years, race cars, road cars, all on vinyl. I thought, how cool is that?
That's a great idea. Chris probably has vinyl somewhere.
I have a Sounds of a Prius, but it's just a blank CD.
It's a blank CD.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Alistair is going to do some shopping for a car. We're going to get into that for just a couple of minutes. But first, before we do that, I'm going to tell you guys about Dodge. Take the winter head on with the Dodge all-wheel drive lineup. Join the Brotherhood of Muscle at the Dodge President's Day event for a great deal and find out what it's like to own the road no matter the conditions. This is mostly for the guys that are not in California. Although we've been getting a lot of rain, and now it's dry for like 2 days, so I washed the car, and it's going to rain on Thursday. Yeah. But I just couldn't go any longer. The wheels were looking bad. The HREs were looking bad. There's the plug for the HRE. See that? The HREs are looking bad.
Spending like a crow.
Yeah, and I had to get them. I had to get it all cleaned up. At least a quick little wash. All right, what are you shopping for? We talked about used cars.
We are, yeah, used cars.
Yeah.
So back in the UK, I did that classic thing of what you buy, you save up, and you buy what you wanted as a 17-year-old, which is when you start driving in the UK, yeah. 16 over here. And I bought a 993, which is a 911 from 94, right at the – I paid the – that was when they were same price as like a Ford Focus or something, a Honda Civic.
Right.
And
so you're graduating high school in 94-ish, and you're like, I want a Porsche. And then 20 years later, you're like, I'm going to pay cash.
Well, not quite pay cash, but yeah, I hear what you're saying.
And that's how I did. I got a 2001 M3.
And this is what people are doing. If you look at the used car market, the value of classic cars, it is basically when guys start to approach 40 and maybe they've saved up a bit of money, they start to buy the car that they wanted to have when they graduated high school. So I did this in the UK, and I saved up for it, bought this car about 8 years ago, and it's appreciated since, and that's just pure luck on my part. And I tried to bring it over to California. I thought it would be cool to have a right-hand drive classic car over here, but no chance. Smog regulations,
no
$10,000 per year shipping fee, all sorts of things. No, it's not.
Our government
happen.
Doesn't even like the cars we make here on the roads. They don't even want those on the roads. There's no way you're bringing car from overseas.
I was trying to import it. I'll do all sorts of things, but basically it's not happening. So I've sold it to a family friend, and he's been looking after it for a year. He's going to love it, and that's fantastic. This is a family friend who's in his early 70s. He has the only manual 991 Targa in the UK, pretty much.
Wow.
And now he has a 993 to go through. So he used to race in the 70s and helped me out with my race, sponsored some of my racing. Great, lovely guy. And so Percy, as it's called, he's kept the original one, but I'm now in the market to replace it. I'm trying to ring fence.
So now you
money.
you got money burning a hole in your pocket.
Yeah, I'm trying to not think of it as money because it's kind of like it's been a little thing that I've built up since my 20s. So it sort of doesn't exist. You know, it's like a classic car, so it doesn't exist as cash in real terms. It's kind of, you know, it's ring-fenced over there.
All right, what are you looking around for? What's
well,
on the menu?
Well, I had this dream of, you know, Californication, the show.
Yeah.
So that was a 964 Cabriolet, and I thought it's California car and everything else. But then,
and what year is that?
That's early 90s as well. So that's the one before a 993. So that's around
really
90,
nice.
Yeah,
so
91, 92.
Wanda has a 911 Turbo, right?
Yes,
92.
So that's a 964 then. That's a lovely car.
Yeah. She has a very lovely car.
That's a coupe as well, Bill.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's the only car that I have here that I actually can't fit in, and therefore Wanda drives it. But she really rarely drives it. I think the thing's got like 40,000 miles on it. It's a wonderful car. I love the thing.
That's a fantastic investment as well.
That's in the garage at the house, not the garage. She's got that close to home, like literally at home.
Actually, it's up at Magnaflow right now. They're catalytic converter work on
it. Of course it's over at Magnaflow.
So otherwise, I'm thinking 99. I kind of keep going back to the car that I had because, you know, you get so emotionally attached to these things in a way that you probably shouldn't. And I was looking at the weekend at a silver 993, which is pretty much an exact replica of what I had. And they're beautiful things.
I do like the 993, right? I love that body style. I love – it's got to be the last of the air-cooled.
The last of the air-cooled. And
yeah.
My other half is quite keen on a cabriolet, but they just don't look as pure, and they're a bit heavier, and they don't have quite the rigidity, and it's not really the purest choice. But we live in California, so it'd be nice to.
No, I see what
the debate is ongoing.
I see what she's getting at.
But Carrera 2, standard coupe, stick shift, beautiful sound, and it's also it's kind of the nice thing about cars, particularly Porsches from that era. So we're talking early mid-90s for a 993 is that they're still very usable. Air conditioning, airbags, you know, you can use them as a proper car. A lot of anything too earlier, and you start to feel, you know, it's a different proposition, isn't it?
But you're not looking for a project. You want something sorted.
I think with my lifestyle, my job, and I have a little one on the way and stuff, so yeah. I think having a project is probably not going to happen right now, or a bit That's of right. a project. I'd like something that I can kind of dabble
First
with.
First of all, I'm just surprised you've even got her on board with this thing. Like, you're a couple of months away from a brand new baby, and you're like, Porsche, use Porsche 993. That's the way to go.
Do you know what the funny thing is? But A, I think this is like a massive distraction for me. This is like, you know, you have that, there's that psychologist or displacement
theory.
How is
she going with, sure, baby, well, get a Porsche?
Well, the problem with the 964 cab is that in the rear seats just have lap straps. So that, it's okay for child seats, but it's not really happening. Whereas the 993.
Can you put a child seat back
in? So I've spent so much time on the internet investigating this. You can get child seats in the back of a 993. Not the rear-facing ones. That's going to be a struggle. But the forward-facing ones. Then, of course, they've got the proper harness and stuff. So yeah, if you go on the forums and that sort of thing, there are proper car seats that will fit in the back. And this might be completely fanciful, and I might just, this may be my last throw of youth.
just do what everybody else says when the new baby's on the way, and they're like, let's just get the Porsche. I'm going to keep this forever. Our kid, I'm going to give this to the kid.
That was the plan for the car in the UK, that basically when I turned 21, the kid's
going to get it.
But then I had now moved to the US. But that's the idea. You kind of bequeath it. It becomes a thing. And I have this kind of romantic image of sort of, you know, daddy and daughter heading out, you know, around PCH in the car and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's very practical, sensible.
It's super practical.
Looking at strollers, and they do now these like super small, like there's a world record winning stroller, super small. I was like, that's the one.
And we're going to end up reading about it on Edmunds. We're going to be like, how to have a baby with a sports car.
It's the next car show, isn't it? What is the best stroller for a hugely impractical sports car?
Yeah, it's going to be what stroller works in a Porsche? What baby seats work there? How do you get a sports car? And now you're going to start testing them out. We're going to have like, what's the head-to-head review on car seats?
Without giving it away, one of my friends and coworkers, a part of our test team, his wife is about to give birth, and we have a plan to do a video actually in the next couple of months, which actually talks about this kind of transition.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of vehicles coming to the market, things like Honda Passport, Chevy Blazer, which are all targeting guys like us who want to, you know, start something that feels fun, looks fun. But it's like, if you can't get a Camaro, get a Blazer. So we're going to have some fun and stand by. We're going to shoot something and pretty much along what you're saying.
All right. We're going to wrap things up here. Congratulations on your baby on the way, Bill. Congratulations on your carbon fiber hood. It's kind of the same thing. And of course, check us out at carcastshow.com. And you can check out Goldberg at Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter, Goldberg95, Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. You can see some pictures of probably the hood we'll put up there, and some behind the scenes stuff of the Dodge commercial, and you can follow me. You can follow me at Motorator, and you can follow Alistair Weaver from Edmunds. Go to Edmunds.com and check out Edmunds.com/roadnoise.
Yeah,
I say that with a question mark. Do not write the question mark. You can check him out. He's Alistair Weaver on Twitter, and he's Weaver Alistair on Instagram. If you get it wrong, just switch it. Just whichever platform you're on, just switch it around. Just try both. See what happens. CarCast, 10-year anniversary at the Peterson Museum, March 10th. Tickets are still available. You can go to the peterson.org website. You can get, a car show only. Like, it's like $50, I think, and we don't control these prices. The Peterson does. It's, you bring your car, you walk around, and that's like $50. And for some more money, I don't know what, because it keeps changing. I'm very confused by all of this. But for some more money, you can bring a car, you can walk around, you can go to the museum, and you get like a Corvette book or something.
Do they still have the Porsche thing on? They still have the Porsche experience at Peterson? That's a great.
And they're going to have the Porsche thing going on, but they're doing, between now and when we launch in March, when we do the event in March, Bruce Meyer, who's, you know, co-chair or something, he's doing like his by the numbers or something exhibit. He owns like all the great Le Mans winners. He's got the Whittington Brothers Porsche, and he's got the only Bizzarini to win Le Mans, and he's got the real Cobra, the Shelby Cobra that won Le Mans. And I think the display isn't going to be Porsches. I think he's doing like Le Mans winners. So nice. If you want to see, and our Porsche 935 will be there for one day only. So if you want to see like the greatest spectacle of Le Mans winners, go to this event. And then and Goldberg will come up, and he'll bring something fancy, probably a Dodge. All right, so Until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.